You outdid yourself, sis. Thank you. Praise God. Brother, I'm glad you're preaching. I'd hurt myself. Amen. I love this guy to death. I mean that with all my heart. One of my dearest friends. I appreciate him. We have known each other since we were, I was going to say young, small. But I better not lie in the pulpit. Me and him has never been small, so since we were younger. I love Brother Craig. He's a man of the Word. He's a studier. If I needed someone to pray for me tomorrow or to tell me the truth, it'd be this man right here. I love him. And I'm honored, Brother Craig, to have you here at Grace and be a part of my camp meeting. Would you make him welcome as he comes to preach God's Word for us tonight? Fired up here. Someone asked me what part I played in the Christmas program when I was a kid. I played all three wise men. When you're in a small congregation, you got to multitask. And I guess for my size, they needed all three robes, bathrobes. So I played all three wise men. Let's turn that around. Lord willing, the creeks don't get up here. We're not really right. Y'all already knew that about me. Brother Dole already knows. Brother Mike, I'll get this on the other lapel. And I'm not smart enough. The man's got to be smarter than his equipment, and I'm not smart enough how to turn that over to the other side. And so we'll just work off of this one side. They're not going to cross speed and electrocute me, are they? Looks like I'm carrying a 45 under this, you know, shoulder rigging. And that might be true. You never know. When I showed up for college in North Carolina, Dr. Danny Dwyer was giving the address orientation to students. And, you know, I'm not very smart. And he come across this line. He said, firearms are prohibited on the college campus. And he said, not that anyone would have brought a firearm to school, would they? And then he paused and looked out over his spectacles down here, and he said, did anyone bring a firearm? Man, I'm having trouble, Brother David Brewer, right here, because, you know, Mama told me, the Word of God said I was supposed to tell the truth all the time, so I raised my hand. I was hoping he didn't see me, because he's short, and I raised my hand. He said, you brought a gun? I'm thinking, he said that in the singular sense, so I don't have to confess to all of them I brought. I gave him a 25 and a 45. Amen, right there. And good to be here. Glad that you're here. And boy, I feel a warmth in the house of the Lord tonight. And I believe that you've been doing your job in praying. And if he's here, it's because we bring him with us. And if he's not here, it's because we didn't bring him. And Brother Ellis, we can't blame anyone but ourselves. We can't blame it on Washington. You know, we'd like to. You know, the devil hangs out up there. And we'd like to blame it on Washington, but we can't blame it on Washington. We can't blame it on the state house here in Oklahoma. If he's in the house, it's because he's in us and we've brought him with us. Good to see you in the house tonight. In the first week of August, God began to finger my heart and gave me a message to preach. And I thought that, God, it's so elementary. I'm almost embarrassed to preach it in front of all the PhDs and XYZs that are in that crowd. You know, Brother Dole's there. I mean, hello, Brother Dole from Louisiana. That eloquent spokesperson from the Southland. And then there's Dr. Mike Hutzel. And, you know, all the fellas that are here. And boy, Brother Jason, I'm honored that you asked, but I'm scared that you ask as well. And someone asked me, Seymour, Missouri, my old buddy Eli. Anybody remember Eli? Eli stands out in front, you know, Miss Rhonda, and he had them overalls on, and he said to me, Brother Craig, you going to preach something good tonight? And I said, well, I'll do the best I can. When I left, he said, thought it'd be better than that. I said, I thought it would be too, Eli. So when we leave tonight, we may say, well, I thought it'd be better than that. And I'll say, I thought it would too. Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. There are days you just wake up feeling preaching. Some days, Brother Mike, you just feel the breath of God. And I hope that when we leave, we can say that we've been more in the presence of God than we have been in the presence of people. And I didn't come to impress you. You can already tell that wouldn't happen. But I have something from the Lord. And I really believe, Sister Cassandra, that you followed the leadership of the Lord. And appreciate those good singings. Choir did great. Congregational sounded good. Talking about just over in the glory land. That touches my heart. Brother Johnny buried my youngest uncle Wednesday. Preached his funeral. Mama's baby brother, 51 year old. Mama said to me, she called me when I was going home, Brother Ellison. She said, I never shouted at a funeral, but I think I quenched the spirit today. Well, God got in the middle of that place. And I'm telling you, I got more some days, I think, on the other side than I got here. And it's a blessed thought to begin thinking about those that have outstripped us and gone on. Ephesians, you found chapter 4, say amen.
Amen.
Verse number 8. Now, I've thought about this verse a lot in my life, but it's only in recent days that God built a message in my soul upon this. Wherefore he saith, aren't you glad when God gets to talking? Well, I think he's got something to say. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high. Anybody glad that he went up on high? When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. What's good right there? Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. Now the end of that verse is when he gave gifts unto men. Brother Jason, I'd like to stop and preach there on that thought, he led captivity captive. Now it's going to astonish you as much as it is to me. I'm not the hatchet man tonight. Huh? Well, that's amazing to me, same as it is to you. There are two thoughts that will govern this message tonight, the Lord helping me and standing by me. There are two forces that we find in the world. There is the force of right, of rectitude, that would bring us into right relationship with God. We would call that the force or the power of God. That power has been since the beginning of time, Brother Ronnie Howerton, because God had created man. We'll deal with that, Lord helping, in a few moments. But he had created man and made him and crowned him with glory and honor in the garden. And he was made in the very image of God. But in opposition, in fact, it is not within seemingly my grasp tonight, of the English language to show us how opposite the other force is. It is in polar extremes to that of the power of God. It is the power or force of evil that would try to lead us captive, that would try to keep us captive in our natural or native state that we were conceived in. We would call it the power of the enemy, or the power of the force of hell. Two forces, Brother Gary, that are in the world today, that of right and that of evil, that are directing men, women, boys, and girls. Now some would say, Brother Craig, what is this captivity captive? Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. Are you with me in the house? There are two forces, Brother Jason, the force of good, the force of God that's leading us to repentance, because the Bible said in the New Testament, don't we know that it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance? That force, that power is bringing us to humble ourselves, confess that we're sinners, and accept Christ. The other force would keep me captive in my natural or native sinful state. Well, let's get a little deeper in this. Let's go to that garden. There in the beginning of Genesis chapter number 1, you'll find that God created everything. And I believe, friends, that He created everything in six literal 24-hour days. Someone said, that's an impossibility. It just depends on how big your God is. Amen. And in crowning His creation, He crowned on that sixth day. He made man in His own image and in His own likeness. And He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I believe that just as there is a God that is three parts, man is three parts. He is not just the body that we favor so much, but He is spirit and soul as well as body. He's made in the very image of God. There had to be perfect harmony that was found in fellowship there in the Garden of Eden when God would come walking in the cool of the day and Adam and Eve would commune with their creator there in the garden. Brother Jason, can you imagine the harmony that was found there? But there's also that in opposition to the force or power of good. That is the power of evil. And He was manifest there in the form of a serpent. We know Him to be the devil. He comes and talks to Mother Eve, and over a period of time wears down her resistance. The voice of God had said, you can find this in the book of Genesis chapter 1, God had given His law, and He said, everything that's planted you can partake of, save for one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. Now, Brother Mike, I believe that the Garden of Eden is more than a geographical location. Many people are looking for that place of perfectness, that Garden of Eden, but I think that it's more. I do not believe that it's simply a tree. That tree of life is simply a tree that's planted there after a manner of fruits for the dull. But I think in spirit terms and in figurative language of the Bible, He's leading us to understand that He has made man in His own image. He was made in the likeness of God. He has perfect fellowship with God. And until that force of evil invaded and led him astray, what happened, Brother Mike Cutsall? Man that had been created in perfect freedom was brought under bondage. Oh, can I tell you? He's brought captive. He's brought and led astray from right and rightness and rectitude that He's been created in. And He now is captive in Himself. Somebody said, Brother Craig, what happened? Adam did not die physically. Oh, pray tell. Huh? Adam lived 939 years in Adam. I read that too. Death did come. Death did come. That had been made, creation that had been crowned in the image of God, that was eternal in scope of being, that's made in perfect sinlessness. Brother Jason Hutzel would have continued in that until I am through eternity, Brother Mike, except the force of evil led him to break the law of God. What is sin? Sin is transgression of the law of God. There is there that. Let's get that, what He did. When God came and He called out and He said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam crawls out from the shadow and from the shrubbery of those figs. And he said, I'm over here, for I've hid myself, for I was naked. Who told you he was naked? Did God not know? God knew exactly how Adam was, but God wanted Adam to know how Adam was. Huh? And Adam said, I hid myself for I was naked. Who told you you was naked? You've been eaten of the tree. There was that tree that was planted. It was desirous to make one wise. Can I preach this to us tonight? The devil always has something attractive. He always has something that looks good for us to help God in. Amen? To help save ourselves. When God takes and kills those animals and He skins them and fashions coats and puts upon them, there is the sacrifice of death, there is the giving, shedding of blood, and now man is free to leave. But at that entering in, to guard, to keep the way of the tree of life, of good knowledge, Brother Dole, he sets there that flaming sword. You remember that? And it turns every way to keep the way. Somebody said, what's so important about this flaming sword, Brother Craig? I can't quote that to my satisfaction, but what I have to emphasize, Brother Jason did, it matters not what angle one would take in approach to God. If we're not coming by the way, we're wrong. Huh? Can I emphasize that from the book of John? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but to me. No man comes to me except the Spirit which sent me would draw him. So, Miss Sue, here he begins to key, and he's going to talk to our hearts. I believe here, even from the beginning of time, about how that he's going to lead captivity captive. Now somebody said, preacher, you're one of them old fogies from the hills of Arkansas. Guilty right there. I don't know that I'm such an old fogey, but here's the way that God's dealt with me about this. Except we read the Bible and begin to understand that he's pointing to us in types and shadow and introducing us in the Old Testament to his providence, I believe we overlook some precious promises of God. Somebody said, how do you know that it's figurative language? Well, let me give you something from the book of Isaiah, chapter number 5, the Lord helping. I'll sing a song to my well-beloved planted a vineyard on a high hill. You remember this? In chapter 5, he said he built a fence round about it, and he planted grapes, and when he looked for it to bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. Remember that? Somebody said he's chosen that city, and he's talking about planting a vineyard. Verse number 7, chapter 5, he said the vineyard is the whole house. It's the house of Israel. Is that figurative or is that a literal language? I believe it's figurative, Brother Randy. So we can read and understand the Word of God. Well, let's get there. Here's the promise God makes. One of the first one he makes. He says to the serpent, he said, you're going to bruise the seed's heel, but the seed's going to bruise your head. And they leave there with regret, Miss Tanya, and they're looking over their shoulder because that flaming sword is turning every way to keep them from coming back. The tree of life's there where they could have lived. I am perfect union with God, but now they live with the shadow and the bonds of sin upon them. They're captive to nature. Somebody said, how does that fit me? Well, it fits me this way. Wherefore sin entered into the world and death by sin, and that man was Adam. Is that not what Roman begins to teach us, Brother Matt? So death passed upon all, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That would say in our natural state, every person is under captivity. We're under bondage to the old man. Well, let's get a little further in this. Let's go to the man that's called Abram. This is before God hung a ham on him in the Word of God. His name's Abram. And God speaks to Abram, and he says, Abram, I want you to get up and get out of Ur of the Chaldees, the land of your nativity. That's what he's saying. Well, somebody said, that don't help me very much there. Every one of us, if we're going to be a servant of God, are going to have to be willing to leave our natural or native state. Huh? Every person is going to have to be willing to separate from that of bondage. Huh? And leave our native natural state to go with God. Now somebody said, Brother Mike, is that natural or is that spiritual bondage? Well, let's go a little further in there. He says to Abram, I want you to separate from your native state. I want you to be able to go with me. Now he's going to talk to Abram, and he says, ever since the sole your foot walks on, that's for an everlasting inheritance. Did y'all hear that? If you're wondering about some things nationally, let's just stand with God on this. We ain't a splitting it. Somebody says it's a meddling now. We're not a splitting it. We're not dividing it. It belongs to Israel.
Yes, it does.
Who said? God said. I'm over that. I about derailed right there, but I'm back on track, Brother Gary. He said, we're the soul. He says to Abram, in one place, you're going in thee, shall all the families. In another place, he said, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Somebody said, what Abram do? What we ought to do, he leaves his native state and he begins going with God, Brother Dole. Now, it didn't mean that he didn't blunder and mess up. In fact, God says, I'm not going to withhold this from Abram, seeing what should befall his inheritance in the latter days. And you remember, I believe it's chapter 15 of Genesis, that he causes a deep sleep to come on Abram. You remember that? Abram has divided that bullet. He's taken that sacrifice and divided it. He's been busy keeping the fowls beat off. That's a picture of the Christian life right there. He's busy keeping them beat off for the dull. And about dark, here comes a burning and a smoking furnace and a burning lamp. Pursuing it passes between there and God. Oh, my Lord. God signified, I'm making a covenant with Abram. I'm going to send them down into Egypt bondage, not to mistreat them, but rather to teach them the favor of God and teach them to depend on God. Huh? 430 years go by. Somebody said, what's going on down there in the land of Egypt? I believe it's a pattern. In fact, I'm convinced that it's a type of what we need today to understand that God does in our life. I believe he's providentially beginning to teach them about delivering them from bondage. As well as me. It's a long step. I'm missing a lot of good preaching right there, but let's take that step. When you leave Abram, he has Isaac, who has two sons, Jacob and Esau. Let's jump over that. Somebody said, how can you? I don't know how, but I can. You back up there in that river. Not only is there the tree of life, there's the river of life that parted and come into four heads. You remember that? Now there's Abram, and there's Isaac, and there's Jacob and Esau. You remember prophetically God says, and he says, the younger or the elder's going to serve the younger. Jacob comes forth with his heel in his hand, his brother's heel in his hand, and something happens. There is one of the boys whose name's Joseph. Joseph is sold by his brethren to whom? Ultimately, the Egyptians. He ends up there, and they, when they come and bow before him, and we know the story how that there had been a drought in the land of the Dull, and how that Joseph had been providentially sent ahead to take care of the family of God. Still trying to get to Ephesians 4, wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. They're down there, and God sends them in as a family. He sends them in as a family. They begin to multiply. God has spoken to Abram, and he said, in thee, and in thy seed shall all the families or nations of the earth be blessed. They're down there. You'll remember that the taskmasters are causing them now to even make their own straw, gather their own straw to make their own bread. But remember this. When by the reason of the cry. Somebody said, preacher, how do I get out of captivity? When by the reason of the cry. You got to want out before you can get out. Here they are. They've been there 430 years. Moses, boy, can't skip over him, can I? Right there, Brother Jason. Moses has heard the voice of God. God's spoken to him. That man that's been rejected, Brother Dole, of his native people. That man that's been rejected of his adopted people. That man that's run on the backside of the desert until rotten days are over. And God says, I want you to go back. And Moses said, they won't listen to me. Who shall I say has sent me? And he said, you just tell them I am sent you. Yahweh, Jehovah. Goes back. Moses does. And he begins to present to them the providence of God. Now somebody said, Brother Craig, how is it the providence of God? Remember the plagues. Do you remember that? What Moses was beginning to do is hear from God. And God is beginning to deliver to the people of Israel that's living in Goshen. And he's able to say, Brother David, if I call the flies come. We need to hear that in 2016. God's still in control. If He speaks to the locusts assemble. If He talks to the frogs hop up here. Huh? Amen. God's still in control. He begins to assemble them. They were signs and wonders, signs and wonders to the people of Israel living over there in Goshen. And the day comes that God speaks to Moses. He said, this is going to be the beginning of time for you. He said, I want you to take that lamb. Where are we getting to, Brother Dole? I want you to take that lamb, cut its throat, catch the blood, roast that meat with fire, and if the house be too little for the lamb, invite the neighbors over. And Brother Ellis, he said, take that hyssop. What is hyssop? It's the one for purification that's been in touch with death, that's been close to death. My God. He said, ye who were dead in your sins and trespasses, hath He quickened. We were there, Brother Dole. Take that hyssop, dip in the blood, and walk over to the door and paint the door. The world says, my God, what are they doing down there? They're fanatics. They're putting blood on the door. It's a sign and a wonder. We're having faith in what God has said. He said to Moses, when you go ask Pharaoh, he's going to thrust you out this time. Brother John, he's not going to ask you to leave. He's going to put you out. Amen.
Amen.
Huh? The world says, boy, that's craziness going to camp meeting at Grace. Huh? Oftentimes that of right and rectitude is looked down upon. That that is godly and holy. It's not thought to be profitable in the eyes of the world. That night there was a cry from Pharaoh's house all the way through the land of Egypt. Remember that? And Moses begins to lead under the power of God the children of Israel out of bondage. Huh? Somebody said that's physical bondage. I know. I understand. I got that, Brother Ronnie. But it relates to spiritual bondage as well. Huh? It's a sign of what God's trying to do for you and I. When He ascended on high, He led captivity captive. You still with me? They thrust them out. And God began to journey with them. He brought them in the way that He wanted them to go, lest they be overwhelmed. Let's take another one of those great, make a great bridge. And let's go a little further in this. You remember that high priest would take that blood on the Day of Atonement. Anybody know the Jewish calendar and what today is? Feast of Trumpets, isn't it? 10 days they'll be doing something that they missed. He led captivity captive. That priest would take that blood and he'd go in. But he had to offer for himself before he could go in. Remember that? He had to make sure, Brother Jason, that he's right with God before he could go in and offer for the sins of the people. And sin would be rolled forward. 400 years of darkness passed between Malachi and Matthew. But the last, one of the last prophecies made in Malachi was that there was a son that would arise with healing in his wings. You begin to hear the voice of God stir the darkness. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, Ephesians chapter 1 says it this way, when the fullness of the time was now come. When God got things ripe and expectantly, He sent forth His Son. Made under the law. To redeem them that were under what? The penalty of the law. What was the law? God said in Genesis 1, if you eat, if you break the law, you're going to die. Had to be redeemed. The Mosaic law was the point. You got to keep this. You got to keep this. You got to keep it. If you don't, you're going to die. Old John the Baptist, Brother Ellis, is down there at the River of Jordan. He's the forerunner of Christ. And he's preaching for the remission of sin to be baptized. And then one day, Brother Mike Hutzel, he looks up and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away." Brother Dole no longer rolled forward, but takes away the sins of the whole world. That's him. Here he comes and John suffers him. You remember how that he walked up Golgotha's hill? You remember that? He's put through the mockery of a trial. They beat him. They lacerate him. There was no guile found in him, Brother Dole Williamson. But as a sheep that's dumb before his shears, so he opened not his mouth. What's he doing? He's dying for me. He's dying for us, the world. Still trying to stay on track. Where he ended up on high, he led captivity captive. He told his disciples, he said, "No man takes my life from me, but I'll lay it down." He laid his life down. They stand him up, dropping his cross into that hole prepared in the earth with a thud. And there he hangs suspended between heaven and earth. He begins to talk to his disciples, talking to John, "Woman, behold thy son, son, behold thy mother." From that hour, John took her into his own home. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He cries, "I thirst." But then there's that shout of a conqueror. John 19:30, when he cries, "It is finished." What's finished, Brother Mike? That that's pointed in the Old Testament. Payment for sin. God's requiring death. God's requiring shedding of blood. God's requiring a payment. And He's exacting it now upon Himself.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. And He bowed His head and says, "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." And He yields up the ghost instead. I'm talking about eternal God. Somebody said, "How big's God?" Well, He's agreeing together in the beginning. He's talking with Himself. And He says, "Let us." Huh? "Let us." They divide the waters from the land. They set a firmament in the heavens. My Lord, Jason, they said to the ocean, "You can only come this far." I've stood there and wondered how in the world, Miss Joan, that the ocean don't come on. He said, "You can only come this far." That's God. Now his son is dead. By the way, that's a pattern of Genesis 22. When Abraham was going, tomorrow would die with Isaac. Yesterday, the hopes of having Isaac as a 100-year-old man would have died. And today, the present would have died because he had a son. God was dying on the cross and he died. Somebody said, "What happened?" There will be those of you who will be skeptical of my interpretation of Scripture. But let me give it to you the way that I believe the Bible teaches it. Hebrews begins to talk to our heart about a one-time offering by this man. But Brother Mike, it says something different. It does not say that he caught the blood of a bullock or of a lamb. Y'all with me? But by His own blood.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
He entered into. I'm convinced, Brother Jason, that tabernacle that Moses was led to build there is just a type and a shadow of the true that's in heaven.
Yes.
I believe that mercy seat that contained Moses' rod that budded, or Aaron's rod that budded. The manna, the pot of manna, and the tablets of stone. Brother Mike, I believe that's just a type of that that is pure and perfect and complete in heaven. By His own blood hath He entered into that tabernacle, that courtyard that has eternal in the heavens, and presented Himself, His sacrifice for sin forever. Somebody said, "You can't prove it. You can't disprove it."
Yes.
Huh? Somebody said, how many times did he go back and forth between heaven and earth? I don't know, and neither do you. But I believe that he went. Because verse 9, Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about him descending and ascending, but first had descended. If we want to believe the Bible, we're to believe it all, haven't we? Not just the part that we can explain, but it's the part of it. He led captivity captive. What did he do? I believe he went and preached to the spirits that were one time disobedient. That's what the Bible says. What were they doing? They were looking forward to the coming of Christ. We're looking back at the finished word, Brother Ronnie Harrington of Christ. But he went and preached to them. What's happened? I believe from Scripture, Brother David, I could prove to you that paradise was one time in the heart of the earth. But it's fixing to have a change of location. What is this language of Ephesians 4 and verse 8? Wherefore, he saith, it is the word of a conquering general, of a conquering army that has conquered, and the general is leading the procession, and he's coming, and he says, I've got power. First Corinthians chapter 15 leads us to this, that the last enemy to be overthrown was death. Woo! Was death, Brother Jason. And this conquering general, he tasted death. He tasted sin for every man. And he went into the lower part of the earth. But he didn't stay there, Brother Mike. Because on the third and appointed day, he came out. The Bible said, according to the Scripture. Just like he had been told he would. What power does the fear of death hold on the life of a believer anymore? I'll tell you what, Pastor. We grieve because we're not going to see him for a while. But with great joy and great gladness, cease not the apostles to preach what? The resurrection. Amen. Amen. Death, though, we don't have to fear it any longer. Somebody said, how do you know it happened? Well, go home and read 1 Corinthians 15. He appeared to the apostles, to the women. He appeared to Cephas also, that's Peter. Why did he need to appear to Peter? Because Peter, you know, last time he had been betraying him. And he needed to tell old Peter, I ain't mad at you. Then appeared to Peter, Cephas, and to 500 brethren at one time. But this is good news, Brother Gary. And many of the saints which slept got up. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he's a moving captivity on captivity. He's moving paradise, Brother Mike Hutzel, and he's a taking them with him.
Amen.
He said, thou shalt not leave my soul in hell.
Amen.
I'm a taking them. I've got, they're mine. They're mine, and I'm a taking them with me.
Amen.
And he moved them on high.
Amen.
I said, Lord, that's good. But I said, this captivity captive. He said, I took that power that holds men bondage and I whooped it. Conquered. Like a general walking in. I've led captivity captive. That fear. What's the greatest fear? Fear of taking your money? Nope, they already got mine. I work 6 months a year to support them. The rest of it goes to Megan. That's my wife. You know, strangest thing happened the other day. They wouldn't let me cash a check at the bank because of a dispute. It said or, and the teller didn't understand the difference between and or. And I said, that's my wife. And they said, if you sign that, her name on the back of that, we'll press charges on you for forgery. And I said, that's amazing. We've been married 16 years, and I ain't never signed my paycheck. She meets me at the door. Wherefore he saith, we owed something that we couldn't pay, but he paid it. How do I get there? That bondage, that whole man. The fear, money. If you take money away, we've done without money before. If you take our freedom away, we've lived as slaves before. The Hebrews lived. People can live as... But the greatest fear of all, Brother John, is the fear of eternity. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. He whooped out death, hell, and the grave. He whooped them out. I think he got the whole of them. That ain't proper English, I know. Let's get this started. When he led captivity captive, how do we get there? How do we get to the tree of life? How do we get to the river of life? But of course, we can't. We couldn't. We couldn't. So the tree came to us. Couldn't get there, Miss Sue. Didn't have money to buy my way there. Ain't got a good enough works to get there, Brother Mike. But when I was yet in sin, peradventure for a good man would some dare to die. But Christ commended His love to us in that while we were yet what? Sinners. I couldn't get to the tree. But He began to instruct His disciples, Brother Ellis, in John chapter 14. You remember that? He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Chapter 15. He said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. My Lord. When I couldn't get to Him, He put me in Him.
Amen.
I said, that's good. But what about that river? That's where I'm trying to get to, ain't it? Man, I've preached on that, Miss Hannah, and I've said that. Water, that water. You remember there on the cross when that soldier walked by and the prophecy might be fulfilled, not a bone of him should be broken. And it wasn't. But that Roman soldier thrust through his side that spear and forthwith came blood and water. Remember that? And I preached that blood as what it is. It's the sinless, perfect, pure, pardoning, powerful ransom for man's soul. And that's what it is. But I preached that water as being the Word of God. And I think there's a pattern there. But I began to read, and the Holy Spirit, the first week of August, led me into this vein of thought. And I share it with you. Jesus Himself, it's Matthew's Gospel, I believe. In the last day, the great day of the feast. Remember that? Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of what? Living water. Let's get this. This spake He of the Spirit, which is of yet, had not been given. And I said, Holy Ghost, what are you trying to say? He said, read it in Revelation. And He showed me a pure river of water, a flowing out from the throne of God to the fire. And I said, God, you're helping a hillbilly now. And He said, I'm trying to tell you that flowed when He led captivity captive and He gave gifts to the men, Brother Jason, was that of water and of blood. We cannot come to the Father by ourselves. We can't approach Miss Tanya unto Him. So He came to us. And part of that, Brother Jason, He gives to us the Holy Spirit to bring us to it. Amen. To woo, to court, to say, you're wanted of the Father. Amen. And that Spirit, Brother Mike, begins to talk to us. And it's a flowing down from and out of the throne of God. Amen. Somebody said, give me more. Ezekiel chapter 47. He led me out toward the east. Somebody said, what's that? He's a-walking me toward the sun. And He took me by the hand, and He had that measuring in His hand. And He measured 1,000 cubits, and He brought me through the waters. What's He doing? And they were to the ankle. And He measured 1,000, and He brought me through the water. It's to the knee. 1,000 is to the lawn. But the 4,000, it became a river to swim in. There's the power of God. No longer does captivity have to hold us. No longer are we bound to sin. But we are free from the pride and the power of sin. Brother Jason, through the purchasing power of the blood of Christ, but we're also directed by the Spirit of God. We're not all in this thing by ourselves. Huh? He led captives and captives. That's about all I got. And he gave it to me. It's his will that we would live under the direction of the Lord God. Not to be ensnared and entangled again with the weak and beggarly elements of this world. But to yield ourselves to whom? The third part of the Trinity, active and energetic in the world today. And His power directs us. Somebody said, Brother Craig, be careful of that in Tulsa, Oklahoma. From the hills of Arkansas to Tulsa to California to Carolina. The believer is to be under the control of the Spirit of God. It's what he writes in chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians. We're to understand what the will of the Lord is. Not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, our problem in being brought under captivity again is most of us are content just to be ankle deep. I took Ellie Jess, my youngest, down to the river. And I got out there in the middle and I said to Ellie Jess, Brother Johnny, I said, come to Daddy. And she got out ankle deep and she said, it's mighty. I said, wade out a little deeper. Very tentatively, hear that little girl come. But she got to Daddy. I think the Spirit beckons us to come a little deeper. Can it happen? My Uncle Lonnie, that's one next to Mother, just got saved about 4 months ago. He got himself a good dose. He's 66 years old. He's been stingy with his money. He wouldn't mind me telling you that. He's been stingy. And he's been volunteering to give money to the sick. He's been trying to help meet some financial needs. We were in church meeting, my two brothers and all the mom's side of the family, some weeks ago before Uncle Charles passed. Uncle Lonnie comes down the aisle, Miss Sue, and he's a shaking hands with people, and he gets to me, Brother Dahl, and I'm standing close to the aisle, and he said, he's crying, he said, I love you. And then he throws up his arms and he says, "Woo! I love everybody." Amen. My youngest brother who works with me leaned over and he said, "Is he drunk?"
Yes, he was.
And I said, "On new wine."
Yep.
Huh? On new wine. Our problem is, we've been content just to have him deliver captivity captive, and we want to stay ankle deep.
Yeah, that's right.
But I believe he's wanting us, if we're going to continue to be under his authority, we're going to have to get a little deeper.
Yes.
Yield ourselves to the power of the river. Somebody said, that scares me right there, preacher. You went Pentecost on me. No, no. Baptists are shouting about this a long time before the Pentecost got a hold of it.
Right.
Amen. He delivered captivity captive. No longer do we have to fear that would hold us captive. Been set free. Just to cast myself upon the mercy of God. And find that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord, you've spoken to my heart, and it's not been eloquent, and it ain't been for me to tell this crowd on a Sunday night at camp meeting. And it could be that there's somebody here or somebody listening across the airwaves that's still wrestling with how to be set free from the old man. They're going to have to be willing to separate themselves from the old man, their natural state. Every one of us is in bondage. born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But you came to preach the acceptable day of the and year of the Lord, to open prison bars, to set captives free. Thank you for the promise that you gave to the Apostle Paul, who faithfully delivered it to us. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. My enemy to be set us free from the fear of our sins if we plunge beneath the blood. Been led by the Spirit to an awakening that we're sinners and in need of you. God, it could be that there's some that's still wrestling. Some that have not yet rested in the fact of what you finished on the cross. It's not the works of righteousness that we've done, but according to your mercy. So bring us to a place of understanding tonight that who we need is you, and that you finished the work years ago. And help us just as a child would accept of their father the gift that's offered. Help us to accept what you're given to us. In your name we pray. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed.